Joey Reynolds is here.
Eric Zekar is here. Is that how you say your name, Eric?
Zekar.
And you are a producer, a writer?
I'm a producer, I'm a writer, yeah. And a lyricist, playwright, screenwriter.
Okay, what is it you don't do?
What don't I do? I don't, actually, I think the really amazing people are the ones that build bridges and the ones that, you know, design buildings. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't fathom how to do that on my best day.
Here in Gotham City. And I especially like what you said here, the article about you. It says that you believe that what inspires many artists is anger.
Well, that was kind of misquoted a little bit. I mean, I'm not always inspired by anger. When I wrote my social satire, I guess, about Bill Clinton and Kenneth Starr. And
even though you like Bill Clinton.
No, I love Bill Clinton, but...
you know he was off base.
Oh, he was off base, but, I mean, I love John Kennedy, too, and I parody him in the play also.
Yeah, what did he do that you didn't like?
Well, he bought the election, he was...
Oh, John Kennedy?
Kind of. Well, I make a little statement about that.
Well, how did he buy the election? That's an interesting perspective. That I didn't know.
I don't think his father did buy the election.
That I totally disagree with, because I happen to have been alive through this one. A lot of stuff people can tell me about because I wasn't here.
I
was in West Virginia when he was campaigning with his wife in a simple frock, and I happened to have been in Wheeling at the time. Honest to God, this is a true story. They came to the radio station I was at together. He was a very humble man and decided to take some time and stump the hills in the worst place in the world where there was poverty and no work. It was called West Virginia. And he came into that district, he and his wife, and they did not ride limos. They had a Chevy. And they went around and they came to the media. That's not his father buying an election. Now, if you said that about Bush, I would tell you there was another entrance.
Well, Bush kind of stole the election.
Well,
but,
that was an acquisition.
I'm sure I'm supposed to go.
I mean, a lot of people don't think that Bush is really running the country anyway. They think that Bush is running the country.
Senior Bush is running the country.
I mean, you know, it's got his old friends running in there. You know, if I had my kids in office right now, I'd probably be running my kids.
Well, if you were a lot smarter than they were, obviously you would be.
But what makes me suspicious is that the old guys, the mother and father, Barbara and her husband, they never come to the White House. They really intentionally distance themselves to make it look like they're not involved, which makes me suspicious. Because people who are honest do anything they want to do. In other words, if your mother and father were, if you were president of the United States, let's just put this as an object lesson. You're talking about parodies. Mm-hmm. If you were the president of the United States and you're a kid, wouldn't you have your mother and father over all the time if you lived in that house?
No! I would not!
If it was old hat for them, if they lived there already.
Do you want to have them in your old house?
But basically, who made the first speech on September 11th? George Sr. made the first speech on September 11th when they were trying to get everything together to calm the country down. I said, why is he speaking? He got on TV and he made the first speech because George Jr. was just like, you know, what's going on? Somebody give me a cue card.
Well, it certainly is an interesting time in history. But then, you know, the importance of the presidency is really what should be parodied right now. It's like during the time of the king, you know, we've had crazy kings, you know, in history, haven't we? So why can't we not have had crazy sons of presidents and crazy president sons?
I don't think he's crazy. I think he's a nice guy. He's just, you know, he'd be a nice guy to be the doorman.
I'm sure Henry VIII was a nice guy. If you were doing what he
wants. Not if you were on by Lynch. He did not speak well of him when they cut off her head.
And I don't think George Bush would cut his wife's head off. I mean, George Jr. George Sr. might do that, but George Jr. is just a nice guy who was kind of manipulated into this office that he should have never
been. See, you do have the anger. Yeah. That is where it comes from. You're right.
Yeah.
That is where it comes from.
The anger always comes from something.
Score one for Alicia, who wrote that article.
Well, she's right. All right, now, you've written plays about this stuff, right?
Yeah, but in my play, I basically, there's a dialogue between Nixon and Kennedy in hell, where Kennedy tells Nixon that he bought the election, and Nixon's like shocked because he always thought that Kennedy was so noble and that he was, you know, the crooked one. And Kennedy says, you know, by buying the 1960 election, I stopped the country from having you as president, at least for another 8 years. So that's, you know, a lot of people think that's the most noble thing I ever did.
sounds Greek.
Where is the stuff playing?
Well, it was at the Producers Club. It still might get to Broadway eventually. It's kind of on hold at the moment.
You ever seen Capitol Steps?
Capitol Steps, yeah.
Do you like that? Because that's all songs. I mean, you're not doing songs about this, are you?
No.
No, this is not a musical. The Nixon and Kennedy in Hell is not a musical.
No, that's just one scene. And there's also Harry Truman in Hell with a Nagasaki victim, which is the most debated scene in the play.
Yeah, that would have been a little controversial.
And Kennedy comes to give advice to Clinton at the end, after Clinton has to let Monica down easy.
This reminds me of the old days when Lenny Bruce was writing material.
Well, Lenny Bruce is in the play also.
Oh, what does he do?
He kind of, he gives an opening monologue and...
And he tells the lepers to pick up after
He basically,
themselves.
He comes, no, he comes in the beginning of the first act, at the very end, and sometime in the middle. He has like three little monologues. And the point of having him there is to show what he got into trouble for. 40 years ago for saying in an adult comedy club where Kenneth Starr is putting all this over the internet for all little kids and, you know,
That's
everyone to see.
What did Lenny Bruce got in trouble for was he went after the church.
No.
Right, but
that's
what,
not true. What he got in trouble for was his four-letter words.
Right, but look what
public.
Kenneth Starr put all over the internet. And look,
yeah,
what,
well, this isn't another generation.
Right,
you know, that word's
so
a
that was the
word.
Whole point.
Yeah, now it's a noun. It used to be a verb. And you know, when the time when Lenny Bruce was talking about Hitler, he had him as a wallpaper hanger. It was funny. You know, I mean, can you imagine walking in and your decorator is Hitler? What's your name, Adolf Hitler? What are you doing? I'm just seeing the wallpaper here. You know, I mean, that was a funny bit. That was a good, that was, and then he had Nixon with Eisenhower. Remember that? Because Nixon was useless to Eisenhower, and he meant nothing at all to him. So he would keep sending him to South America where they were throwing stones at him. Remember that? He says, Dick, why don't you go to South America? You'll be well received. Take Pat, take a little time off. You know, I mean, that was funny stuff.
Well, then I wasn't a glint in anyone's eye, I don't think. But
no.
When Kennedy was campaigning, then I was in a womb somewhere, so I might have some recollection of it.
Ah, see, now you're going to feign the age thing, huh? All right, we'll be right back. Joey Reynolds Show. Now, what is it? Eric Zakar?
Zakar.
If you want to get a hold of us, www.starplay.com, right? Starplay.
S-T-A-R-R-P-L-A-Y, like
Kenneth
Starr.
Yeah, there's two R's, so you never get in there.
Like Kenneth Starr or Ringo.
All right, got it. Be right back.